Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And this week we have a shorter episode. We only reviewed two albums, but boy, are they two albums to review as we kick off our crazy month of June. We have Avicii's posthumous album, Tem, and then Silver Sun Pickups released the album Widow's Weeds. Sean was looking forward to that extremely. We've got a little bit of news here and there, and let's just get right into the news, because it's been it's been a mild week, but we have music time to make up for it. So the week opened up with Forbes doing this thing where basically Jay-Z has kind of once again been crowned the richest person in rap. He's the first rapper to make $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the way he did it was...
It's because Dr. Dre got fucked.
And I mean, to say Dr. Dre got fucked, he's got that sweet, sweet Apple money right now.
Never mind.
Okay, go ahead, go into it.
No, I was gonna say, isn't he technically a billionaire, but then because of the amount that he had to give to Apple or whoever, it's like 300 mil, so he had 700 mil instead of a
bill? Yeah.
Is it something along the lines of that?
Yeah, you're right. There is a bit of a controversy because Dre said that he reached that 5 years ago. Because of the Apple deal.
Yeah.
But that would be saying that like Apple got, or like he got all of that money at once, which is possible. Right. So like, and also Forbes is not like the best of one of these things. So let's say it like this. Jay-Z is one of the first rappers to become a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. Oh, good for him. Her, I meant to say, is because Rihanna is now the world's richest female musician. She's at $600 million, which is $30 million more than Madonna, who we may be talking about later this month.
Possibly.
There's just so much good music. More than Celine Dion by $150 million. And where's Beyonce? Rihanna's dunking on Beyonce when it comes to Chase Bank because she has $200 million more than Beyonce.
Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
Oh, I know, so a lot of these are the only artists getting paid.
Pretty much, right? This is not like a usual thing. It's not like Tori Ma's like, yeah, I got my billions over here.
Tori Ma wouldn't know what to do with $1 million. You just buy a lot of...
oversized sweatshirts.
I was going to say, a lot of oversized sweatshirts and ripped jeans from like 1984.
Yeah, he'd buy some like weird oak string instruments.
I could see that.
And maybe like a Chevy Bolt for living in Berkeley. So for those in the East Coast, basically everyone who lives in the East Coast, the Governor's Ball is your only attempt at a music festival besides maybe Ultra, maybe. And they had to offer refunds because they had to evacuate the entire thing on Sunday due to severe weather.
Yeah. Oops.
All refunds will be processed within 21 days, and people who purchased a 3-day pass will receive a partial... Anyone who purchased a Sunday ticket or a 3-day pass will receive a refund for the Sunday portion of
that.
Okay,
that's good.
So that's actually pretty good.
I mean, it's like how fun. I got a refund for my concert, so it's always good to hear
they're actually doing shit. Oftentimes, I mean, usually there's exceptions to the rule, and those exceptions usually get documentaries made after them, like Fyre Festival.
Mm.
But usually if a concert has to cancel for any number of reasons, you usually get your money back. As long as you bought from like first party sellers. I wonder how that works if you like buy from like SeatGeek or something.
I don't know how that works for those. AXS gives you refunds right away. I know that because that's who did mine. And they gave me everything too, even like little processing fees and stuff, which I didn't expect them to, but they did.
Oh, word. In more other news, NYPD continues to be kind of shitty or dumb, and they've launched a new rap unit to track crime at hip hop shows. So they've been apparently keeping tabs on artists like, Remy Ma and 50 Cent. A member of Remy Ma's entourage was listed as a person of interest because of suspected gang ties and 26 prior arrests. So there is that, I suppose. That being said, I feel like LAPD could be doing much better things with their time than like NYPD. Going to rap NYPD, yeah, correct. LAPD could be doing much better things with their time, like maybe cleaning up the streets. Not that it's their job, but that's a problem. And apparently they're not addressing room for that. So that's another thing. NYPD, they have many other things to do, many other types of forms of organized crime to handle than by, you know, just like going to rap shows, watching 16-year-olds do mosh pits.
I mean, you never know what's going on. Look at Tekashi 6ix9ine.
That's...
I'm from New York. You knew it from New York. What's going on?
Counterpoint.
The amount of drugs, because think of it, you can also, the amount of drugs and gang violence and stuff that is in rap culture, you can try to infiltrate it through rap culture.
That is true and fair. I guess those are good points.
So if that's what the goal is, then you can do that way.
Oftentimes, these things are basically used as measures to over-police certain neighborhoods, so that's why I'm worried about that. So, but like, I think there are points to be made on either side.
I don't have a problem with it.
Both sides. Anyways, let's talk about Tim, the album by Avicii.
Mm-hmm.
It is 12 songs long, comes in under 40 minutes, right?
38 minutes.
38 minutes. Yep. Avicii is an artist who had been making music for a good, like, better part of this decade, mm-hmm. electronic music. Had released a couple of albums, at least, yeah, going back to his early, like, 2013, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I believe 2 years ago, I should truthfully know this better, but, just 1 year ago, 20th of April, he took his own life and was discovered to have done so. Like a couple artists who have, like, ended their lives recently, they take, or like they have a lot of music that they're still out there and working on that was unfinished or close to being finished, and then their friends kind of feel the urge or the calling to pick up where that artist kind of left off and then release something.
Yeah,
that's at least a less cynical way of looking at it, because of course it can be seen as like a shameless cash grab.
Oh, but yeah, like, that's straight the Jackson family.
That's the Jackson empire, you mean.
Yeah.
Beautiful but, island. Nevertheless, this is Avicii's record. It seems like it was produced by a lot of his like close friends, and a lot of the stuff was close to done anyways.
Mm-hmm. And then a couple of the tracks were made a few years ago as well.
Yeah. So. A lot of what's a cool thing that Spotify did, again, I'm not like plugging them, they don't pay us, but like we used it to review mm-hmm. this album. But if you're listening to the album, if you scroll down, it would show like a behind the album thing where you could kind of skip through it, kind of like Instagram stories. And show little details about individual songs. Well, I think it was a nice touch UI-wise, but to the music. Avicii has always been more like within the confines and constraints of EDM, where it sounds like very almost predictable in song structure.
Mm-hmm.
You can give Avicii certain passes on that because he was part of an earlier like movement in mm-hmm. EDM. And that ever since then, things have kind of been iterating off of and copying off of since then. Secondly, with electronic music, it's kind of hard to escape the 4-4 structure with things kind of building up. But it does get annoying when there are like really shitty, hypey build-up drops.
About 185 people that do the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. 185 DJs who do the same thing, mind you. This, to me, seemed to be like the least offensive version of that. But do you want to go into it at all?
Yeah. It's not something I like, really. The song Heaven has Chris Martin, who is the lead singer of Coldplay.
I think I just died. Yeah, I think I just died. I think I just died. I'm meant to heaven.
Avicii, I think he produced or made A Sky Full of Stars, which came out in 2014. And apparently they recorded this song when they were recording that, so 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
So when I heard that song, I'm like, oh, this sounds like A Sky Full of Stars. I'm like, oh, wait, that is Chris Martin. And I looked it up. I go, oh, that's kind of cool. But that's when I started to really hate Coldplay, because that's when I felt like they sold out and changed and went super poppy. I mean, except Magic was a good song. But... And that's kind of the feeling of the album, where there's a lot of features on it, and it's just stuff that I've never really liked. It's nothing that is too special. It's just normal EDM to me, like something you play at a music festival and everybody enjoy, Cloud Breezers.
Yeah.
It's nothing horrible, but it's, none of the songs are super special. But I mean, that's what I felt with this music before and everything as well. But that's just the whole critique of electronic genre in general, because you, in order to get to the good meat and potatoes, is a couple of people's favorite phrases, you have to go to underground artists or artists that are very, they're not well known or anything and stuff. So the more well known EDM artists, the worse they are to me. That's kind of how the trend is. And yeah, I've never really liked his music. I thought it was a tragedy that, especially with his suicide and whatnot, or I think it's a suicide, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it's been horrible in the music industry. But into the music itself, it's okay. Nothing special, nothing like life-changing or whatnot. But it's, the drops were, I mean, you could kind of assume when the drops were going to come, but they weren't overhyped, I guess you could say. But they were quite predictable.
And like,
almost every song. And after a while, I'm like, and I've already heard this stuff.
I sort of try to wonder, it's the popification of EDM when you're trying to make it something fit and be radio friendly. And that's kind of Avicii's style, and you can knock that style for being a little too like inside of the box, and I think those knocks are totally valid. Because that's what I felt too. It's, I always try to think like, how do you like go around this in like dance music specifically? Because signature rise, it's pretty hard to escape like the 4/4 time signature in dance music, because people are usually moving to it, and it's harder for people to kind of keep the beat to it.
I mean, you could definitely change it. I mean, there are plenty of artists and stuff that do that. Look at the album we reviewed of Halos.
Yes.
Exactly. You can definitely change it. It's just people aren't willing to do the changing.
That's fair. Within that box, the people who were making this album had one specific job, which is to make sure to not fuck it up. I think they successfully did.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. This lives up to the legacy. I definitely came away from this feeling that, like, I wish it was something a little bit more. I wish it pushed it a little bit further. But the fact that it didn't do it too badly, or, like, didn't push it too far ahead, isn't horrible, because like the formula that was there worked for
it. Yeah, and then again, moments. Some of these songs are older and stuff as well, so it's before genre became super predictable. So you can give a grain of salt to that, because like Heaven, I know, was made years ago before EDM kind of exploded, especially in the States.
Yeah,
because that was recorded, if it was the same time as A Sky Full of Stars in 2013, so that's before a lot of it became big. So if that's the case, I don't know the rest of the tracks when they were recorded and everything and when they were made.
A different time.
Yeah, exactly. So you could, I'll give that a little of a pass, because okay.
Yeah. And lyrically, which I think is where you can find them, because yeah, it's very like predictable instrumentally. Mm-hmm. But lyrically, I think you can find some of the most, I guess, interesting stuff to suss out from here, because some of these lyrics were done before. Some of these were like, Avicii was very specific about where he wanted the parts of the song to go, like the choruses. He knew that Peace of Mind, for example, was going to be the opener for some album he did, so they definitely kept it like that. There's some songs where he specifically wanted the chorus in certain places, there's stuff like that. And then there are songs you can definitely tell are kind of written kind of in after the fact, where it's like the artists are kind of, that are on there, are kind of trying to grapple with the usual tropes you have of like love and loss and moving forward, but rather than being something that's usually only applicable to relationships, it can be applicable to like the death or passing of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, I would, we were off to the races shitting on Imagine Dragons just a couple months ago. But
give me an excuse and I will shit on Imagine Dragons, because they're horrible.
I really couldn't hear. Like, it was a really heartfelt song and almost made me feel emotions.
Where are you? Where are you? Oh, now that I need you most, in my heart upon my sleeve, broken down. I'd say, and I can't do a single thing without thinking of you, thinking of you.
as someone who I've talked a little bit with my past of like suicidal tendencies and attempts, it's kind of written from the perspective of a survivor. So it's like the first time I've actually kind of felt what it would be like to have survivor's guilt from that in a song. And I'll give them credit for doing something like that. That again, I listen to the lyrics again, it could be applicable to love or loss. It's something that's vague enough like that to fit into the standard kind of EDM song.
Exactly, because I didn't think of that at all.
But if you look at it and then look at the context of everything, look into it. It's surprisingly deep. So, how do I come away from Tim? Listen to it. I think it does his.
I think it definitely does his justice because it's for a bunch of tracks that were recorded before. It actually does go well together as a whole.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't feel like the album felt like out of place.
No, not at all. Which is very hard to do if you do stuff in different recording sessions, and it's. I wouldn't say it's a summary of his music because some of his is different depending from year to year, and then also some of his sets he would do different stuff as well. But it's kind of a nice little, I wouldn't say gesture, but nice little
homage,
monument to his work and everything, and a life cut short because I think he would have been one of those guys that actually experiments with his music.
Yeah, I think he was on the cusp of a lot of it. Because like even then, these drops here, it's experimenting with some of the stuff
you're seeing. And this was 6 years ago.
As early as 6 years ago, but as recently as like, there was one song, the second to last song, he wrote the lyrics for it 4 days before he took his life.
Okay, so.
So it's like very recent. 2 years ago. Yeah. Up to last year.
Yeah.
So that's Never Leave Me, the song second to the end. So that is all kind of chilling, but yeah, it's not going to blow your mind, this album.
No, not at all.
But it's definitely worth for understanding the culture, and it's not something you're gonna have to put yourself through, I think. It's a good enough listen, but it's not going to be an astounding, amazing listen. Rest in peace, Avicii, though. Arbitrary scale this week. to segue, because we do arbitrary scales because rating websites are bullshit. Protests in China. So we're going to pick, because there is a protest going on over extradition of political descendants in China, we're going to rank this with different protests in China to kind of see what we're doing. I would say these are the... I would say Democracy Wall.
Okay.
No. You know what this is? This is that... I don't know if this is in China, actually, but this is that image of the guy standing in front of the tank.
Yeah, that's Tiananmen Square. That's definitely China, mate.
That is... I didn't want to rate this Tiananmen Square because that's a hell of a protest.
The tank was Tiananmen Square.
Okay, well then, Democracy Wall, because that's not quite that. It was in 1878. It was an activist who started... basically, it's activists who started this wall where they put up a bunch of big posters. And they kind of tolerated it for a little while, but it was in direct response to their government, so they didn't like the anti-government thing.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it was there, it was tolerated for a while, but eventually they set it down. It didn't cause too much of a distraction. Your protest?
This could be just a rural protest. There's like a thousand of rural protests. Just like simple farmer protests.
It's the bog standard, good old-fashioned protest.
Yes.
All right, well, a lot of companies have had to correct themselves recently, basically because of PR nightmares. And basically by correct themselves, I mean like do performatively like make themselves better or make themselves appear better so they get less shit on them in the media. But SZA posted on Twitter this bad interaction she had at a Sephora in Calabasas. Therefore, all Sephoras closed down this week for sensitivity training a la Starbucks. I mean, there's a lot to be said about that stereotype of assuming people are going to be stealing shit from restaurants.
Yeah.
Especially from stores. No, you should totally go eat chapstick and lipstick at Sephora, because that's what they sell at. I'm such a guy. But also, Sephora does see, of all these different stores, a lot of people stealing stuff. So there's that, but they obviously did this just to make sure they didn't get a lot of media attention, so fine, whatever. Wokeifying. This is wokeifying. So there's a song called Young Republicans by a group called Lower Dens. And, you know, this song has got a lot of ideas in it. In fact, there's some lyrics to it that you can kind of read. I'll just go through the first verse.
Okay.
In every generation, there are those who just don't fit in. We never asked to be this way. Born without souls or blood or skin, we're young Republicans.
Okay.
So, there's symbolism, there's meaning for it. It's definitely a critical of Republican song. But, you know, if there's one thing I can say about Republicans and what they stand for, because their opinions seem to change every couple of months, depending on what their man-child president seems to say, is that Republicans stand for free speech, right? Wrong. Because a number of radio stations mm-hmm. are blocking this song from playing because they are more conservative and they are offended by the speech that is in
the
this
biggest
song.
The irony of the biggest snowflakes are them.
So their label went out to defend them and said that it outlines the contemporary significance of the song Young Republicans, and that radio programmers agreed that the subject matter and title made it too controversial, something we couldn't get behind. It's just completely ridiculous. The front person of the band, Jaina Hunter, called the blacklisting, quote, hilarious and true and insane to me. And they also posted a Twitter thread about the song's personal significance, saying that, quote, so much horror and misery in our society has its roots in the actions of the wealthy, endlessly privileged people who cannot sate themselves. It's funny to me in a sick kind of way that they've co-opted the language of the victims and somehow believe themselves violated by others' desire to be let alone and live in peace. So they're very well aware of the irony on that as well. Meanwhile, in England...
This is kind of wild.
This is a little bit wild, and this is not going to be the hill I die on. So there's a band at Glastonbury named Kildren, and they're performing at Glastonbury, but no longer are they performing at Glastonbury because this punk duo got in trouble for... calling for a, quote, genocide of conservative politicians. This is too much sauce.
Because the problem is they made a song called Kill Tory Scum Before They Kill You.
Among the lyrics in the song are, sing along if you know the words, quote, Tory genocide is the perfect outcome. Murder them all to the beat of the drum. Kill Tory scum, kill Tory scum.
Yeah, I'm End sorry, quote. Mate. I don't care which political party you are. That's a little too much sauce.
I don't like that call. Wait,
no, let's not do that.
Oh, man. So, you know, this is Audio Face. This is one of the most fair podcasts in America. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we both sides. What is that, Sean? What are we? Do your best Brett Baier impression. You have almost the look right now.
Brett Baier?
Fair, balanced, unafraid.
Dude, tune that shit out. I'm not paid by Raytheon.
Anyways, Megan Thee Stallion did a cool thing. It's the Hottie Beach cleanup that she did on June 6th. And basically, it's just like a beach cleanup.
Oh, that's actually kind of cool. I don't know who the fuck that is. But that's pretty cool because everything is a mess on the beaches here in Southern California.
Yeah, most of Los Angeles is actually like a heaping garbage dump, but our beaches are much the same as well. So it is very good that we have like Megan Thee Stallion. I guess I'd put her in like the Cardi B, Nicki Minaj realm of like female artists and rappers. But yeah, this is just a totally cool thing. Instead of making some like big, crazy... I like when artists use mm-hmm. their persona to, okay, I can be wild and ratchet sometimes, right. But I can also, like, be true to the community. Like, I was the 21 Savage school of trap artistry.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. She's doing another one, I believe, in Houston, too. So details for that are coming soon. I guess follow her for those details. Widow's Weeds is the album by Silver Sun Pickups. And it has just been released. It's 10 songs long. Also...
47 minutes.
Yeah, so 50-minute albums... The world's listening to Audio Face. And just like, we love shorter albums. There's an incentive to make shorter albums, so it's happening. I really didn't know this until recently, but you are a large or a sizable, this isn't the greatest wording, but you're a Silver Sun Pickups fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we first, like, I just threw a single on there, they had released, it was Freakazoid from a couple weeks ago. It excited you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have this album, It's definitely like an alternative rock space sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty damn good. I really enjoyed it a lot. It starts off with, I'd say like the first three songs, Neon Wound, even through four. So like Don't Know Yet. So Neon Wound, Doesn't Matter Why, Freakazoid, and Don't Know Yet. Do the thing that I like when alternative rock albums do. I think Interpol's album did this mm-hmm. a lot last year, where it's just like you're kind of introducing your sound, but doing it in a very like fun, upbeat way.
Yeah.
To almost, I feel like bands are almost doing this as kind of a, hey, this is our fuck you to the idea that rock is dead. Like we're gonna do something that's pretty much changing it and improving it, and we're going to be loud and bombastic and proud about it. So I appreciate that, and it's really cool. Whether they continue that on for the rest of the album is a little bit more of an open conversation, so I'll let you join that.
I overall like the album. Serious Home Pickups do a thing where Tori Ma, where every album, it'll have about four or five songs that are amazing works of arts, and then the rest of the songs are kind of standard. But they're not bad songs at all. They're good. The complete album makes everything through. But they have always done that throughout their history as a band. They still have like some of my favorite songs of all time, which is probably Common Reactor on their first album. I love that song. But this album is pretty solid. And they have a couple of my favorite songs of the year so far, especially Freakazoid. Very fantastic song. And the last song, We Are Chameleons, is a very, very, very good song. We always knew that this day would come. We always changed like chameleons. Flash bright like the 4th of July. We have a mission, we have a sign. In the face of the ever-changing alternative rock scene of either reverting back to a sound that you used to do, like what Muse did, but now they started to redo themselves a little bit more, or you do the what almost every other alternative band has been doing, and implementing electronics but not experimenting with them and just using them in a pop sense and making it kind of bland. They didn't do this. They stuck true to their sound, even though they tend... Silver Zone Pickups tend to experiment a lot on albums, and this one they didn't experiment as much. I mean, they still have a couple of songs like Bag of Bones and Straw Man where you can hear they have different ideas and stuff.
Yeah.
A solid rock, like alternative rock album in a year that the genre is kind of in a really weird limbo, and it's nice to hear something that is solid throughout. Those first four songs are amazing. I like how it... Neon Wound starts off as a really dark track, and that kind of picks up that theme the entire album. And that's a very good opening track. It doesn't matter why in Freakazoid are bangers, especially Freakazoid. That's a fantastic song.
I'm going to drop my especially on It Doesn't Matter Why, because I think
Doesn't Matter Why is a great song.
Because I think it encapsulates the...
That was their first single, I believe.
I didn't catch the first thing, unfortunately, but like It Doesn't Matter Why encapsulates the thing I'm trying to say in the beginning, where they just say, here is our sound, we're going to be unapologetic about it. It shows up that way kind of lyrically, as well as like through the instrumentation of it, which I really appreciate. And yeah, just it doesn't matter why we're known, we're just known. It's just such a carefree vibe that I really dig from that. Should you stay or go? Go. It segues from Neon Wound into that to Freakazoid in a way that, it's standing up rock for itself. This is definitely one of the highlights of rock that's come out of this year. That's definitely been, I'd say, right when we had that rock is dead conversation, it's mm-hmm. peak when rock was dead.
Yeah.
And then a little bit at the end of the year, we started picking up, and now we're in not quite a renaissance, because it's not quite any of these other genres that we have that are kind of flourishing and thriving right now, but... it's showing off something that's definitely really cool that is happening in the space. Where do you think it end kind of like dropped off to you? Like Strawman, Bag of Bones?
No, those are good. As Widow's Weeds, ironically, the album title, the song, was okay, but I didn't really like it that much. Songbirds was okay. Simpacito, those three songs kind
Simpatico?
Of were, yeah, Simpatico, it like went down. And then We Are Chameleons is a perfect ending song for the album. It's a, I'm glad they put that there.
Yeah.
Because after the end of the kind of a lull of the album, then it picks up right there, ends it, which is fantastic work.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've done that throughout their albums. Because Better Nature, which is what they released in 2015, I actually didn't like that album much. But with Swoon in 09, which is, that's a fucking good album. They did the same, kind of the same thing where Draining isn't that
the
great of a
song,
but then it picks up the sort of Substitution, which are great, and then the last two songs, Catch and Release and Surrounded, aren't that good. But this one kind of did it more of, let's put more of the slower songs at the end and then leave the last good song at the last second, which
yeah,
I appreciate.
I would have... And I won't dispute that the Silver Sun Pickups knows how to set up a good album. It makes it sounds really complete. So the song order works. And all the songs, like we said, it fits that standard mm-hmm. of it's none of these are bad songs. It's just that some songs just such outshine the other ones that you wonder what could have been done to improve those other ones. But I definitely feel like the album's top heavy and it could have been improved by maybe moving Widow's Weeds up a little bit. And moving Strawman, Bag of Bones down. Because there are a lot of songs yeah. in there that are kind of on the borderline between really upbeat, which I appreciate, and kind of lower. And I appreciate that pacing. It should be there. I'm not asking for it. Like, totally full gas the album all the way. Wouldn't mind it, but that's more of an EP thing. I think that sound would get a little bit tired out after a while. But I would definitely appreciate a little more balance from this album. Overall, one of the top rock albums of this year.
Yeah, definitely.
Arbitrary scale. This is my Tiananmen Square. That's when I'm dropping that.
I want this to be the public that isn't aware that Tiananmen Square is a thing in China because of the censorship that's going on. And there are many online protests that are going on behind the scenes that people don't know about.
So the online protests that are trying to avoid the censorship from the Great Firewall, you're saying?
Pretty much, yeah. So it's wild shit.
Yes. Like that deep state. You're not going to find it immediately.
No, you're not finding it as the deep state shit. You got to go on that dark web about it.
The intellectual dark web.
God, love you, Kenny.
Ideas.
So, this is something, yeah, we saw before the doc. It's 18 hours of music from Radiohead's OK Computer sessions. So, all their stuff from demos to live things and other experiments and weird sounds that they make. Have leaked online. I say quote-unquote leak because it's not like the band didn't really give it permission. It's weird how that works, but whatever.
Basically, it's a band officially sanctioned leak.
Yeah.
Where they're not releasing it, like, as an actual release, but we're saying, hey, we're going to give you these, like, random demos and shit.
And there's a lot. I listen to some of it, and some of it's kind of hard to get, but there's a giant...
Worth.
Yeah, there's a giant Google Doc of discs and stuff you needed to get, and there's a lot. Anyways, it's really cool because there's a couple tracks from it where you could see what could have been. There's a version of Lift that they scrapped because it basically would have...
It's too good.
Literally, they were afraid that it was going to be the next Creep, and they didn't want a song to be that good again. Because
Tom York's like, oh, no, not this shit again.
Literally, they didn't want to have a song that is requested over and over and over and over again, and because they have so much other work, so they scrapped it. But holy shit, it's really good, and I wish they didn't scrap it. It's unbelievable. There's a lot of different like motion picture soundtracks, some demos of that where it's just Tom on a guitar, like some bedroom sessions and other stuff. It's pretty cool. It's on Consequence of Sound, but I mean, if you just look up Radiohead, Google Doc yeah. leak or whatever, you can find it there, and it's just so much content to dive into.
It's a lot of songs.
But they'll like, the guys who did it are pretty good at it, so they have little things to explain what is on each disc and the timestamps on all of it as well. So it's pretty easily laid out for you. You just have to search through it. It's a lot of content, but good enough to see.
Anyways.
Wow.
This was almost the fun note, but there's one story that's slightly more funny than this. But Ariana Grande had to cancel her shows following her newfound allergy to tomatoes.
That sucks, dude.
So I sympathize with this because my mother actually has an allergy to tomatoes. But there's the most Ariana Grande thing she could have possibly posted in response to this, because she had to cancel a couple shows because she was down for the count of some of these. Her response was, quote, "There's nothing more unfair than an Italian woman developing an allergy to tomatoes in her mid-20s.
That's rough, dude. It's like how my mom developed a strawberry allergy like 2 years ago. And she's like, wait, I've been eating strawberries my whole life. Now why do I get an allergy? That's wild. I actually feel for her because I have allergies. And I know how, you know, I know that feeling when your throat swells and you're like, what? That's hard to avoid tomatoes. That's very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
So be careful. Be very, very careful.
Play it safe.
Play it extremely safe.
And now, to end Audio Face on a fun note, before Game 3 of the NBA Finals, Golden State played Pusha T's The Story of Adidon
mm-hmm.
as the warm-ups, Drake's song, because, you know, Drake's been very annoying on courtside. They proceeded to lose that game.
Yep.
And the game after it.
Yep.
So we're currently recording this at Game 5. The Warriors usually come back at Game 5, so I'm not, like, writing it in for them. But I hope that...
I just want the St. Louis Blues to play Gloria tonight against the Boston Bruins. That's all I want. And then to win at home.
Is that game tonight?
It's Game 6 tonight, baby.
This is going to be
delicious.
This is an excellent...
A real man sport where you can actually punch people in the face and not get called for fouls.
This is an excellent day for...
sporting goods.
Professional sports.
Yes.
In the world of sports. That has been Audio Face. Next week...
Oh, I didn't mean to...
Next week is episode 100.
Yes.
It's the 100th episode of Audio Face.
We're doing the thing.
This is currently the last seconds ever of double-digit Audio Face.
Woohoo! Yay!
We've done a little bit of like deciding that the Council of Audio Face met and had like a final meeting. So those
the council hears of this.
So episode 100, we'll be talking about Gold Link, X Ambassadors, Two Door Cinema Club, and Bastille Sully to dunk on, most likely to dunk on.
Yeah, many will be bleeped.
Yes,
last man standing wins.
Throughout the month, we still have Hot Chip, The Raconteurs, Lil Nas X announced an EP, The Black Keys, there's supposed to be some unreleased prints happening. Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, Iris Gold, and potentially maybe, probably not likely at this point, Madonna.
I don't think we have time.
That's all happening. There's going to be a lot of cool things happening for episode 100. There's going to be a lot of cool things happening for Audio Face in a very close future.
Yes, there's going to be wild things.
Keep it locked, keep it loaded, but don't shoot because America's got too much of that.
Whoa.
Audio Face Pod can be found on Instagram and Twitter at Audio Face Pod.
Yes.
Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram. I'm not going to make that too easy right now. I can be found on Instagram at Dan from the Internet, on Twitter at Dan from the Web, and seriously, Sean can be found at SW Suarez on those same outlets. We'll see you next week. It's really be excited. Definitely subscribe. It's going to be fun. Cheers.